Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We go immediately to the breaking news about Venezuela. You will recall that Venezuela is the source of vast emigration because of the breakdown of the economy, of health care, of the future for the young people of Venezuela. The estimate is more than 6 million from the population have fled, some to the United States, some to neighboring country Colombia, all through the region because of the Maduro regime, regarded by the United States of America as illegitimate. At the same time, the United States of America is now making gesture towards what might be the possibility of normalizing relations between Caracas and Washington. I read from a report several days past. The U.S. federal government on Saturday granted petroleum company Chevron a limited license to resume pumping oil in Venezuela, making the potential first step in ending a years-long embargo of Venezuelan oil production by the United States. In a press release, the Treasury Department said it had authorized Chevron to resume, quote, natural resource extraction operations. Professor, a very good day to you. This is at once significant and puzzling. What is it that Chevron can now do that they couldn't do before? And Chevron is a private company, makes a lot of money. It's headquartered in the United States. I believe Houston is one of its major addresses. Is Chevron a surrogate for the United States, or is this a matter of dollars and cents? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Chevron, as sanctions were placed on various different Venezuelan companies and as the Venezuelan governments under Hugo Chavez and later Nicolas Maduro defaulted on their various loans and other payment obligations, Chevron was basically the last U.S. company to not pull out. It had a series of joint ventures, actually a total of five in Venezuela, some involving the Russians as well. And during the sanctions period, during the Trump administration and now, Chevron's argument was always that if you take the project away from us, then the Russians will just take it over, and we have the ability to do this in a positive direction. Along the line, also Chevron essentially loaned money to the Venezuelans, to PDVSA, which is the majority partner in these joint ventures. And so Chevron is owed about $3 billion. And so what's happened now, as the Biden administration has wanted to get oil production from Venezuela to the United States and also has wanted to have leverage for negotiating a return to democracy by the Maduro regime, is that they first through what was called the General License 8J authorized Chevron to negotiate essentially and stay in the country. And now with this new General License 41 has basically said that Chevron can pump oil to the United States, just to the United States, in repayment of past debts owed. And so the argument would be that this money is not directly going to PDVSA. It's sending oil to the United States. However, there are some side benefits that would appear to be going to the Maduro regime. And certainly this also is probably the first step in a broader opening up, as we've already seen with some of the general licenses given to other companies, for example, previously European companies like Repsol and but in the short term, it will allow Chevron to send oil to the United States. The Maduro administration will probably certainly get symbolic victories, but will probably get some of the money. But there is some dispute about how much of the money would or could actually go to the Maduro regime and to PDVSA, which is, after all, the majority partner under this agreement.
Puzzle, Professor. My memory from reporting many years ago, this is during the time of Hugo Chavez's dictatorship, presidency, and then dictatorship. I remember being told repeatedly that the conditions in the in the petroleum fields of Venezuela deteriorated rapidly, so badly that it was no longer possible to repair or to maintain credibility. And then the army was called in to administer the fields, and the conditions continued to deteriorate. I mean, technical, software, hardware. Is that all still true? And does Chevron have to rebuild to go back in?
John, Venezuela has lost a lot of its oil production capability. As you recall, they used to be producing about 3.1 million barrels per day. They're now down in the range of about 700,000. And so really what happened over time is that as PDVSA skimmed off a lot of those oil earnings for corruption and for the social programs by Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro, the reinvestment that you need, basically maintaining pressure in the declining fields, you know, building new capabilities to be able to actually you know, move and ship and dilute the oil, maintaining the refineries, a lot of that essentially was not done. Also, as the Chavez and then Maduro administrations essentially didn't pay their contractors, people like Halliburton and Schlumberger, those petroleum service providers pulled out of the country, which meant that you know, some of the basic things that you need to keep these oil fields running just frankly were not done. And so little by little that fell off. Little by little the operation by rigs who were doing new exploration just didn't occur. And so you're absolutely right. There's a situation where the infrastructure, the refining infrastructure, the development infrastructure is just in an abysmal state. And so you can't bring oil production up very quickly. Now, arguably Chevron has done some of the things that it needed under previous general licenses to maintain its portion of the production. And yet, you know, really what Chevron can produce right now, I think it was producing about 35,000 barrels per day. Theoretically, it could bring that up to about 200,000 barrels per day. So Chevron, because they've kept their fields more or less live, is not quite in as fragile situation as some of the others, you know, especially Petroboscon and Petropiar, which continue to produce. But you're absolutely right. There's definitely an upward limit of, you know, what can be produced from Venezuela in general, even if the Biden administration today says, you know, we authorize everyone who wants to produce oil.
At the same time, we have a Reuters story within these hours out of Houston, London, when the supertanker Yangyang sailed to the Chinese port of Qingdao in September last year. It had quality certificates for its cargo stating it was transporting Malaysian crude oil, according to the documents reviewed by Reuters. But satellite images and photos showed the Chinese-owned ship had loaded the oil 4 months earlier in Venezuela, an OPEC nation in South America under U.S. oil sanctions. What the story explores is that, as the headline says, Venezuela exports oil despite U.S. sanctions, using false documents and ships linked to Iran. Is this matter of grave concern with the consideration that Chevron is going back in? In other words, sanctions have failed. Is that part of the thinking in Washington? Our sanctions are not working, and so therefore we have to find another way to engage.
As far as I can see, the sense that about a third of all Venezuelan oil output is actually a smuggled oil and you know, meant to escape sanctions. The fact that there is a certain amount of that taking place probably is not related to the decision on Chevron, which seems to be more both about the lobbying by Chevron as well as the need for oil, as well as the desire to get Maduro back to the negotiating table. But what you point out really reflects something that's been going on for quite some time, especially as U.S. sanctions deepened in about 2019, 2020. So in the Chinese were superficially respectful of U.S. sanctions, especially when CNPC was producing oil from fields that they worked with PDVSA. However, what you then saw were the beginning of these you know, falsification operations of paperwork in terms of where oil came from. Other reports, for example, of offloaded oil going to Curacao, and they would change the blend and say that it was actually not Venezuelan oil that was coming into the refinery. So ship-to-ship transfers of oil off of Malaysia in other places, the falsification to suggest that it was actually Malaysian oil in this particular story and not you know, Venezuelan oil. Stories of tankers basically turning off the equivalent of their GPS systems to hide where they were actually you know, coming from. So there's been a a wide series of different, essentially, smuggling, sanctions-busting things to hide the fact that this oil was coming from Venezuela and who the benefit was going to. Indeed, in the Chinese case, it was particularly egregious because while the Chinese wanted to give the impression that they were respecting sanctions, they actually had transferred some of their capabilities from CNPC to a Chinese military-owned organization, KADIC. And so they were essentially using, a new fleet of tankers to basically get the oil that they needed from Venezuela, and basically hiding that source while busting U.S. sanctions.
And Professor, just a detail here, the fact that Iran is involved, and Iran with Caracas, that's not a surprise to us. We've talked about how the Iranian regime is at home in Caracas, and so is the Russian regime, and so is the Chinese regime, and Hezbollah in Caracas. All these issues suggest that the opening of relations with Maduro is high risk. Is that, you've worked in government, how does a government regard approaching someone who's in business with malign actors?
I can certainly say, John, that under the Trump administration, there was the clear understanding that Maduro represented in many ways a strategic threat. And as you alluded to, it goes back to the way in which both the Chavez administration and the Maduro administration served as a point of entry for the Iranians, sending Quds forces, operatives, special forces into the region through Convias airline flights, perhaps doing some proliferation work on the development of Iranian Shahab 3 and other missiles, of course, development with the Venezuelan industry, Kavim, of drones, the Mojahedin 2 and now Mojahedin 6 armed drones that we see Venezuela has acquired that capability. Some sense that, there were, through people like Tariq al-Assami and his Lebanese network were, working with groups such as Hezbollah, at least in the organized crime domain. As you pointed out, and we've talked about in the show before, the working with Russia as a source of, as a gateway for Russia to come in, including multiple times when their nuclear capable Tu-160 backfire bombers, as well as their warships, were welcomed into Venezuela. And most recently, the role of Russia in upgrading Venezuela's, S-300 air defense systems. And so, this has been going on for quite some time. It also involves other actors that we can talk about, the Erdogan regime in Turkey and the role of Turkey in helping to launder, Venezuelan gold. And so, clearly one of the sources of danger here, as essentially these steps by the Biden administration give new life to the Maduro administration and new economic health and new opportunities to be legitimized in the region, that really opens the door to a whole series of other things, the projections of threats, whether, again, by the Chinese, by the Russians, by the Iranians, by, to a certain degree, by Turkey, and as well as, frankly, what we've seen, the activities by the Cubans in conjunction with the Chavistas operating from and through Venezuela, but operating throughout the regime, the region, impacting other actors. And so those indirect strategic effects, I think, are certainly a concern, although it appears that the near-term focus of the Biden administration appears to be providing these things to get some more oil and to try to get Maduro back to the negotiating table in Mexico for, benefit, which is, as of this moment, relatively unclear, because we've been here before. We've seen this showing up at the table for endless talks without it going anywhere. Frankly, it puts, Juan Guaido, the de jure president of Venezuela, in a very weak position as he tries to negotiate with a sense that the backing that he's receiving from key actors like the United States maybe isn't what it used to be.
Well, we've been invited to the table, Professor. Let's head to Mexico City. I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis, who is anticipating our travels here. We're headed to Mexico City, where there is said to be discussion between the Maduro regime and Juan Guaido and the opposition of the Maduro regime. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.